I have been working on a series of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and I started over a year ago. It's been kind of scattered out through the year, so where we are in the series is kind of a landmark. We're changing lists of gifts, and so it's worth going back and reviewing, since if your memory is as good as mine, I have to look at the paper to figure out what we talked about last time. And to hold the continuity of the whole series together, it's necessary to review frequently here. The first thing we talked about was how there's a common misunderstanding about the filling of the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that happens to us at salvation. We're all given the Holy Spirit. That's part of the package. We see in Scripture many examples of fillings of the Holy Spirit, which happen over and over to the same people. And we went into some detail about, you know, examples of who those were. But you see it through the book of Acts. You can find like Peter being filled with the Spirit multiple times. And so the conclusion is that we are to continually seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we've been baptized in the Spirit. Yes, we've been given the Holy Spirit of God. And in one of those things that's harder for us to understand than our brains can wrap around, God, the fullness of God is abiding in us, but yet there's always more available that we should seek after, and we're continually to seek after the Holy Spirit. So, not to stumble over the idea that, oh, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's a one-time thing. I don't seek for any more. Whatever I have now is all I'm going to get. No, there's more. Okay? The second thing we talked about, since the topic is not just the Holy Spirit, the topic is the gifts, that through Scriptures, through the New Testament, we find four places where there are lists of gifts given. And lest we just kind of stir them all together in a big tossed salad and say gifts of the Spirit, we look at each list individually, and we're looking at the different characteristics of those different gifts. And one of the things we noted was that we have two different uses of the term, of the list. Some are given in a very general sense. For example, God gives us all things. He gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us different colors of hair. He gives us different forms to our body. He gives us all of those things are things that God has given to us. Those are general gifts. In other places, the lists that he gives in a very specific sense, where there's a specific purpose given for the list or for the gift. There's a specific description given of the gift. And those specific lists, those lists that are given in the specific sense, we're talking about something precise, not something real general. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11, there's a list of 9 gifts given. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracle, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those gifts are given very specifically. They're given with a specific purpose, actually two purposes in that case. One is to make known the presence of the Holy Spirit in that moment, and two is to build up the body of Christ. And because they're given in the specific sense, I've presented them to you saying these nine gifts for that specific purpose. These nine gifts are the nine gifts given for that purpose. We don't add to that list. That list is a specific list. And we've spent the last five of my sermons going over those nine gifts. Now we're done with that. We're going to the next list of gifts, which we will find in Romans 12, verse 3 through 8. And these are given in the general sense. These are not specific gifts. These are general gifts. These are given, there's not a purpose for the gift stated. The list is given in the context of another discussion, and we're going to go into that today, so I'm not going to elaborate on that list right this second in the review. The third list we find in Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, which is a list of gifts given by Christ to his church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. This is, again, a specific list given for a specific purpose. And so we have those five things, and we'll discuss those when we get to them. And then the fourth list that we find is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, but at the end of the chapter, in 27 through 31, and that list is a mixture of the other of items taken from the other three lists, and it's given. Some of those gifts are the specific gifts. Some of them are general gifts. It's in the middle of a discussion about how each of us in the body of Christ is important, and it ranks those gifts in order of importance. Even though it has just got done saying that we're all equally important, it then ranks the gifts in order of importance. That's another one of those funny things that God does where it's hard for us to put the two pieces together, and he does it right all in one passage. But he ranks those gifts into five ranks or five categories, and he gives in the first four of those categories, he gives one gift per category, one gift per rank in order. And then in the fifth rank, he lists some other gifts in kind of a general summary sort of way, which I believe encompasses all the rest of the ones that he did not list. And the importance there is to understand that God has placed a priority on certain things, and sometimes we might go, well, I don't understand that, but as we look into it more, we'll see maybe why God has put the importance of those things in that order, and we'll get to that when we get to it. But so those are the four lists, and we summarize those. But today we're going to start in Romans 12 and talk about those gifts there. We'll focus on verses 6 through 8 where the list is, but I want to read the context of the whole chapter, because the context is always what must drive an interpretation. So let's read together in Romans 12 the whole chapter. I'm reading from the New King James. You can read from whatever you wish. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, before we get down to verses 6 through 8, it's worthwhile to pay attention to a couple of things. Notice that in verse 1 and 2, that they set the direction for the whole chapter. So, as we go through this chapter, we need to keep in mind that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, not being conformed to the world, but having been transformed in the renewing of our minds. The rest of the chapter is talking about how we interact with each other. So we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice to God as the introduction to how do we interact with each other. So the short discussion on the gifts in 6 through 8 is just a little piece of some very practical instruction on how to accomplish this interaction thing in a godly way. But before we consider any of the gifts themselves, let's notice in verse 3, we have instruction to not think too highly of ourselves. So humility is always the starting point in the practical instructions of how to interact with each other. And then from the second half of verse 3 through verse 8, it's expanding on what that looks like to function together. How we're all one body, we all function together, we all have concern for one another. It's all about others. Look at the second half of verse 3 closely. Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. This is significant for two reasons. One, it's God who has dealt the gift to us. In other words, we can't take glory for anything because he gave it to us. That's the primary point that's being made here. There's a secondary point that you can get from this. And I think the secondary point is going to be important for us to understand what these gifts are. If you notice here, it's God that gives the gift. Where in Ephesians, the next list of gifts that we'll be on, it's Christ who gave the gifts to his church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we just finished, it was the Holy Spirit that gave the gift. This is coincidentally Trinity Sunday. And it's worthy to note that in the lists of gifts, we have this Trinitarian sort of picture given to us, where here God gives the gifts, Christ gave the gifts to the church, and the Holy Spirit gave the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to make his own presence known. What I see in that is that God the Father, the Creator, has given these gifts. It's part of the created order. It's part of who you are. It's part of how he made you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the spiritual gifts are given momentarily for that moment. These gifts are given as a part of who you are for your life. That doesn't mean you've got it right yet. Remember humility? These gifts are to be... These gifts are enhanced by the grace that's given to us. They are to be exercised in proportion to the level of faith that we've grown into. They are to mature as we mature in Christ, which means in an immature sort of way, we can abuse these gifts. So we have to grow up into them to do them correctly. Now, verses 4 and 5 remind us that we are one body and many members, and each member has its own unique function. It reminds us to celebrate the unity and the diversity in the body. In other words, I'm not allowed to judge others by my own standard or my own experience or my own view of how things should work, but rather to allow each one to function according to their own gifts and their own calling in Christ, and to celebrate that. We so easily judge by our own lens. The way God made me, the things I've experienced, the way I feel, becomes the standard for how everybody else should be. And that's how we judge one another, and that's how we cause strife and dissension. Because we're not all the same, and we're to celebrate the unity and the diversity of the body of Christ. And then verses 6 through 8 discuss the gifts. And to reiterate, the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we discussed already were given by the Spirit for a specific purpose, to make his presence known. They're supernatural gifts because of the purpose of making the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit known in that moment. They're supernatural gifts. These gifts are given by the Father as part of the created being, and you might think of them as natural gifts enhanced by the Spirit as we grow into them. So now let's look at the list of gifts. And the first item on the list is prophecy. And you're going to say, how in the world is prophecy a natural gift? Well, what is prophecy? Prophecy is hearing the voice of the Lord, responding correctly, and reporting what you heard. And maybe you've noticed that some people find it a lot easier to hear the Lord than others. some people just seem to be in tune with the Spirit, and some people have to really work at it, have to really, it's hard. That's like me. That's analytical engineering type people with our brains over exercised have a hard time listening to the Spirit. If you happen to be one of those people that find it easy, then that's, I think, what we're talking about here. If you find it easy, make the most of it. Learn to listen. Learn to share what the Lord has given you. But, like it says, it says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Let us do it according to the level of faith that we have, according to where we've grown in our walk with the Lord. Because when you're one of those people that can really pick up on the things in the Spirit very easily, if you don't do it according to the measure of your faith, if you don't do it according to being grounded in your relationship with the Lord, there's other spirits out there besides the Holy Spirit. And if you're sensitive to the spirit realm, you're sensitive to the spirit realm. And you'll pick up on those other guys too. And we've known people that were like that, very, very sensitive in the spirit, but immature. Watch out. So it has to be exercised according to the measure of faith. Now in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, as a summary, I mean, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, three chapters are all about the spiritual gifts. Now you're thinking, chapter 13 is the love chapter, right? Yeah, that's the love chapter. That's in the context of the spiritual gifts. There's only a few verses in chapter 13 that don't mention the gifts, actually. So, but the chapter 14:1 says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So that passage is instructing all believers to seek after prophecy. In other words, to seek after being able to hear the voice of the Lord, to be sensitive to the Lord's promptings. That's for all of us. But some people are going to find it easier. Now this principle that's given here about doing it according to the proportion of our faith, that principle applies really to all of these. You can apply that to all of these gifts. Now let's go on. Chapter verse 7 says, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Now that word ministry depends on your translation. It may say service. These are those people that love to serve. Their niche is the behind the scenes stuff. The people that would rather put the communion elements together than be seen out here doing something. They love to serve. These are the people that if there's a call put out for something that needs to be done, it's like, oh, sure, I can help. Right before they get elbowed in the rib, and it's like, aren't you already overcommitted? Because that's the way they function. That's what makes them tick. That's what makes them come alive, is to be able to serve. So as we mature in our faith and in the use of the gifts, we can learn how to do that in a way, use that gift in a way so that it's a blessing, both to us and to everyone else. If it's only a blessing to me, oh, I love to serve, and it's not a blessing to my wife because I'm never here, I'm out serving, then I'm not in balance. Okay? So that's where, as we grow in our faith, we can do it right. Okay, teaching. The next one. That's still in verse 7. Teaching. He who teaches in teaching. Not a lot of explanation given there. Just if your gift is teaching, do it. But what's a teacher? A teacher, somebody that loves to teach. A teacher is somebody who loves to learn, because you can't teach if you haven't learned it. A teacher, if a teacher knows something, there's nothing that they'd like better than if somebody wants them to explain it. Now this describes Debbie. There's nothing that perks her up like if you show an interest in something that she knows. It's like pushing the on button. Teacher, here we go. Now verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation. Again, not much explanation, just if that's you, do it. But what's exhorts? The Greek word exhort, or the word exhort is the Greek word parakaleo, which is the verb form of the word parakaletos. That helped you out a lot, didn't it? But you may recognize that from John 14:26. It's in this verse here. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. It's the word translated helper. It's where we get the theological term paraclete, meaning the Holy Spirit. That's the theological term they use to speak of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the paraclete, the helper, the parakletos, is like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, or an exhorter, I should say here. Let me back up. I got ahead of myself. A parakletos in Greek, is an advocate, one who comes alongside of for the purpose of, parakaleo, the verb form, to give aid, plead your case, encourage, intercede for, admonish, comfort. That's why we call the Holy Spirit the Comforter, because that's one of his functions. Admonish, encourage, intercede for. These are all things that the Holy Spirit does, but this is also the gift of the exhorter. So the exhorter is one who will guide you in the right path. They'll stir you up to do what you already know you should be doing. This will also be the one who's going to be walking right by your side when you go through troubles. This will be the one that you're struggling and there they are. The next gift, giver, giving, says he who gives with liberality. Now a giver is going to be somebody that loves to give, right? The giver's response to a problem is going to be to give something that solves the problem. Now in using this gift in proportion to one's faith, the giver is instructed to do it generously. Or that word's also translated with simplicity or sincerity. And that word refers to the virtue of one who's free from pretense and hypocrisy, not self-seeking, having an openness of heart manifested by generosity. In other words, giving has to be done with the right attitude. So as we grow in the proportion of our faith, it's done with the right attitude. If it's not done with the right attitude, if it's not done in proportion to our faith, if we're not walking in balance of faith, the giver may be struggling with wrong attitudes, like they may be expecting something in return for the gift, or they may be expecting glory and honor because of the gift that they've given. Or they may be struggling with the balance of how much to give. They may be wanting to give more than they can afford to without compromising their responsibilities, like their mortgage isn't getting paid because they've given to the poor. Well, it's lovely to give to the poor. We're commanded to do that, but you're also supposed to take care of the members of your own household. So that's where the balance in proportion to our faith comes in, is doing it to the right degree, the right way, the right amount, and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know when and how much, so that we're not enabling somebody, like by giving to somebody to help bail them out of a problem that they shouldn't have been in because they were irresponsible. There is a balance to that. You don't want to enable them. Okay, leading. The next one, that's in verse 8. Leading, which is also translated he who rules. This is the one with natural leadership abilities. The one who says, follow me. And everybody follows them. The one who says, let's do it like this. And everybody just does it like that. Maybe you've noticed people that say, let's do it like this, and everybody goes, no, I think we'd have it, and it never happens, right? That's not them. The ones that say, let's do it like this, and everybody just kind of falls in line, that's the leader. Occasionally that diligently is translated with zeal or with haste, but most of the time it's translated diligence, earnestness, or care. The person with that kind of a gift has to really guard against abuse, abusing that influence. They must be sure that they're leading in the right direction for the good of those that they are leading. Years ago, Debbie was teaching school at a Christian school. And they had a morning chapel service, and this little kindergarten boy, you know, raises his hand, yes, and he stands up and he turns around to the student body and he says, everybody say yes! And the whole student body said, yes! Do you think that kid had a leadership gift that needed to be developed a little bit, maybe? Okay, still in verse 8, mercy. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The word mercy can simply mean to have mercy on or to help one afflicted or seeking aid, bring help to the wretched. People with this gift are quick to show mercy and restore a brother or sister who's stumbled. They might also be the ones who are drawn to a ministry that feeds the homeless. Letting this gift be regulated by the proportion of their faith might be growing into knowing where to set boundaries on the restoration of the fallen. The mercy person might have a hard time enforcing discipline on an errant child, not realizing that it's not merciful to let them grow up undisciplined. So the point in showing mercy with cheerfulness is sometimes there's unpleasant things you have to do in being merciful that are unpleasant to yourself. You may be called to carry relief into a really nasty situation. Sometimes feeding the homeless isn't a picnic in the park. Sometimes it's a rough neighborhood where you're very uncomfortable. Or sometimes this errant child that might need to be corrected, it really goes against everything in you, and it really hurts to have to enforce discipline, but it's what has to be done. And so the cheerfulness is to be laid over the top of that. The joy of the Lord is to be laid over the top of that situation that isn't pleasant to walk into. But when the showing the mercy or any of these gifts, when that activity that we're led into is kept within the measure of the proportion of our faith, it kind of clicks within our spirit. There's a divine yes upon it. We feel fulfilled. The other person is blessed. Everything works right. The gears and the machinery are well oiled and everything goes the way it's supposed to. And that's the purpose of doing it in the measure of the proportion of your faith. Now, as I said earlier, I don't think this list is an exhaustive list, because this is not a specific list, this is a general list, and as such, I don't think it's exhaustive. Meaning, there's other things on this list. These are examples of things how God has given as a part of our created being. There's other gifts that we might think of. You might think of musicians. That was something God gave them from the beginning. They had a natural gift. Now it can be developed, grown, matured, trained, just like all the gifts. Or people whose natural gifting is in technology or mechanics. Some people just understand that stuff and others don't. But it's all to be used to the glory of God. We all present it to God and let Him grow us into it and exercise it according to the measure of our faith. And when we do that, that's how we... Let me back up and say this a little differently. When we let ourselves be led by the Spirit and use the gift, use that thing that comes naturally to us, but regulated by the level of maturity where we are, is how we present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. Remember, that's how this chapter started. We present ourselves a living sacrifice. Now, here's how you walk together. Okay? We present ourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord by taking what comes naturally to us, submitting it to the Lord to be used according to the level of what He's given us, and how mature we become in the use of it, so that we don't run ahead of, you know, use our gift ahead of where we're ready and abuse it, or hold back and not use what He's given us to do. So it's a benefit to us to recognize what He has given us to do. What is it that comes... What is that thing that clicks within me that's part of who he's made me to be? And then how mature have I grown in that so I can use it correctly so that it's a blessing not just to me but to everyone else also? So that's the end of the sermon. However, before we dismiss, in recognizing who we are, kind of flowing out of that, recognizing who we are, what comes naturally to us, and using it in regulation, one of the things I've noticed about us here in this room as a group is we like each other, and we like to talk to each other. And last week was our first experiment being back in the building with this social distancing thing going on. And the dismissal part didn't work too well. Because as soon as we start talking to each other, you can't hear if you're 6 or 10 feet away. And so the next thing you know, you're 2 feet away. That's a little bit less than the social distancing thing. And we had the idea that we'd dismiss us like at a wedding and everybody would march out all neat and tidy, right? Well, that didn't work. Partly because the people who were doing the dismissing got distracted talking to people partway back. And partly because some of us didn't want to leave because we wanted to stay to talk. So today the weather is beautiful. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's not too humid. If you go outside, then we won't get this acoustical echo thing going on, and you'll be able to stay your 6 feet away and talk. So let's try to put it in our minds that if I want to talk to somebody, the best way to do it is run right out the door and catch them when they come out. Don't stand here and wait to catch them when they get out of their seat. So, I don't know if we're formally prepared to dismiss row by row, but let's not crowd the doors, you know, dismiss orderly, but let's go outside to carry on the conversation, and please, let's carry on the conversation. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for this time that we've had together. We ask that you put your hand over us and guard us from the pandemic and shine through us that we could be lights in a dark place. Lord, we praise you for your mercies. Amen. All right. You're dismissed.